ॐ तव कथामृतं ताप्तजीवनं कविविरीडितं कल्मषापहं श्रवणमङ्गलं श्रीमदाततं भुवि गृह्णन्ति ये भुरिदायनाः. The nectar of the words is the life for those who are scorched by the world. The words which have been uttered by the north of truth, which wipe out sins, the very hearing of which is beneficial, which are beautiful, pleasing to the ears, pleasing to the hearts, which are inexhaustible. Those who recount them on the earth are the givers of plenty. Oh, peace, peace, peace be unto all. Talks with Swami Vivekananda, recorded by Sharat Chandra Chakraborty. Page 25. Talking with some Punjis in Sanskrit, what is civilization, characteristics of Indian civilization, Samadhi, who is the real teacher, hereditary gurus, Sri Ramakrishna. These are the topics. Place Kashipur at the garden of the late Gopal Lal Shil, year 1897. Swami Vivekananda arrived from America and Europe, February 1897. Swamiji stayed in the West 3 years and the first time, and second time 1.5 years. Almost 5 years Swamiji stayed in the Western world. At that time our monastery was Alambazar Mott, which is maybe within a couple of miles from Calcutta, from Dakshineshwar. We did not have a permanent house, permanent monastery. It is a rented place, a haunted place, cheap. Nobody rents those places, so monks rent. Monks are not afraid of the ghosts. They are ghosts, you know. It is true, when we take our final vows, we have to do our own Shraddha ceremony because we will not have any children, no progeny. So you finish your funeral rites before you take sannyas. So in one sense, we are ghosts, spirit. Anyhow, the Gopal Lal Shil, the big monastery was a very broken, small house, not many rooms. Swamiji came with his Western disciples. So a rich man gave his garden house, fancy garden house at Kashipur, so that Swami Vivekananda can live with his Western people. They want to pay their respect that Swami Vivekananda spread Hinduism, Vedanta in the West. Who was with Swamiji? Miss Henrietta Muller, a daughter of a very rich man in England. He gave 40,000 rupees to buy our monastery in Belur Mutt. Second, Mrs. Xavier, her husband was a captain in the British Army in India. So when he retired to England, he and his wife became disciples of Swamiji. And they started Advaita Ashram Mayavati. They bought nearly 4,000 or 5,000 acres and gave to Ramakrishna Order. Next was Swamiji's stenographer, J.J. Goodwin. without Gujuin, we would not get so many lectures of Swami Vivekananda. We are grateful to this person. He was a carefree soul moving around in New York. So American people decided that this man's precious lectures will be wasted if we do not record. At that time, you know, there is no television, no tape recorder. So we needed a person who can take Swamiji's words as faithfully as he can. So he can record 120 words per minute. He's a good stenographer. These are the Western people are with Swamiji. I just gave you a little background what is going on. After his first return from the West, Swamiji resided for a few days at the garden of the late Gopal Lal Shil at Kashipur. Kashipur is just northern suburb of Calcutta. Some well-known Punjis living at Borobudur, Calcutta, came to the garden one day with a view to hold a disputation with him. The disciple was present there on the occasion. Borobudur, generally the Marwari, the western part of India, this people, business community live there. And they have some Punjits. They are ritualists. They do all the Vedic sacrifices and all those things. So these people came to debate with Swamiji because he is a very famous man, Hindu representative. Do you know what is the Raja? If I can defeat you, then I will be very famous. So if they can defeat Swamiji, they will be very famous. That is the reason they came to debate with him. I remember once a Pandit came. Swamiji was about to go to his bath in the Ganges. He came and said, I have come to debate with you. Do you have paper and pencil? Yes, give it to me. I am defeated. Now you go home. Are you sure? I am defeated. You go home. Swamiji was funny. So these Punjis have come to debate with Swamiji. Mode of conversation would be in Sanskrit. Neither Bengali nor English, Sanskrit. They want to test Swamiji's knowledge in Sanskrit also. Look what happens. All the Pandits, they know only Hindi and Sanskrit. They do not know English either. All the Pandits that came there could speak in Sanskrit fluently. They came and greeting Swamiji, who sat surrounded by a circle of visitors, began their conversation in Sanskrit. Swamiji also responded to them in melodious Sanskrit. The disciple cannot remember how the subject on which the Pandits argued with him that day, but that this much he remembers, that the Pandits almost all in one strident voice were rapping out to Swamiji in Sanskrit subtle questions of philosophy, and he in a dignified, serious mood, was giving out to them calmly his own well-argued conclusions about those questions. Swamiji knew Sanskrit in school and college. Then when he was traveling in Gujarat in 1892, he was the guest of a famous grammarian, Sanskrit teacher, and wanted to learn Ashtadhyayi Panini. Is the Panini's grammar in Sanskrit. It is the most ancient and authentic grammar. And wrote there is a commentary. So the Pandit was giving lesson to him. Swamiji could not figure it out. Swami could not understand. Then the Pandit said, Swamiji, I am sorry, I shall not be able to teach you. He took the grammar. And 3 days, he concentrated on Sanskrit grammar and got the mastery. Within 3 days and three nights, he finished whole European history in 3 days. Just before the examination, he was singing, moving around. When he saw the examination is near, and he did not read the European history, he took the book and went to his room. 3 days, three nights, day and night he read. And his memory, once he reads, he does not forget. Shrutidhar. That was Vivekananda. So the Pandits, in the discussion with the Pandits, Swamiji represented the size of the Siddhanta or conclusions to be established, while the Pandits represented that of the Purva Paksha or objections to be raised. The disciple remembers that while arguing, Swamiji wrongly used in one place the word osti instead of swasti, which made the Pandits laugh out. At this, Swamiji at once submitted, Panditanam dasoham kshantabhyam etat skhaladam. I am the servant of the Pandits. Please excuse this mistake. The Pandits also were charmed at this humility of Swamiji. After a long dispute, the Pandits at last admitted that the conclusions of the Siddhanta side were adequate, and preparing to depart, they made their greetings to Swamiji. If you read Shankara's commentary of Vedanta, Purva Paksha, Uttar Paksha, opponent, they will raise the question and you will have to answer. You will have to refute them and establish your view. I shall refute you and establish my view. I shall refute you. You asking questions again and I shall refute you and I shall tell you what is my precise side. That is called badu. Another kind of argument, I shall only scatter your ideas, your arguments. Shatter your arguments, but I shall not establish my view. That is called jalpo, bitanda. There are three ways you can argue people. As a Sanskrit teacher, he can find out 21 loopholes in your argument. A great logician. If you say this, you have this problem. If you have said this, you have this problem. If you do not say anything, then you have this problem. That is the way the Sanskrit teachers, the logicians, they fight. Interesting. Purva Paksha, Uttar Paksha. Siddhanta means conclusions and opponent. Opponent. Sometimes grammatical mistake, you know, in Sanskrit, if you are not accustomed, it is not a spoken language. And if you do not converse, many years Swamiji did not any get chance to speak in Sanskrit. So what happened? He made one mistake in verb. Do you know what Swamiji said? He will tell us. In the West, people do not care for your little grammatical mistakes. They only watch your ideas. American people are very good in that respect. Very cooperative, very gentle, and not very polite, very civic. Worst is the French people. If you make one mistake in a lecture, he will stand up and say, you made this mistake. Very rude, French people. American people are very good. They do not care. I sometimes am watching a little bit Bengali because it is so beautiful, and the English translator did not translate everything. So I am watching if there is anything extra in the Bengali. Last 6 years, Swamiji was in the Europe and America. He did not get any chance to speak in Sanskrit. But when Swamiji started to speak, they found what a great power he released during his conversation. Swami Ramakrishnananda, Yogananda, Nirmalananda, Turiyananda, Shivananda were present. So some people ask the Punjis that how do you think about Swamiji? The one senior Punji says, he might not have deep command on the grammar, but he has great command about the ideas and conclusions, the thing which he established. Well, he is fantastic. He is a genius, talented person. They miss these things, you know. Do you know what? How the brother disciples had love for Swamiji. When these arguments are going on, Swami Ramakrishnananda went to the shrine and repeating mantra and praying to Sri Ramakrishna, may this Pandit not be able to defeat our Swamiji. That's called love. A brother disciple went to the shrine and repeating mantra and praying to Thakur that Swamiji may not be defeated by the Pandits. You see, that they did not translate. You know, there are some aspects, those little things make the thing so living, full of living and loving. After the way, about the way the Punjis laughed at Swamiji, picking up one grammatical mistake, he said that this error of his, after the Punjis had left, the disciple learned from Swamiji that those Punjis who took the side of the Purva Paksha are well versed in Purva Mimamsa Shastras. That means the ritualistic portion of the Vedas, Purvoka. Swamiji advocated the philosophy of the Uttara Mimamsa or the Vedanta and proved to them the superiority of the path of knowledge, and they are obliged to accept his conclusions. It is the Jaimini Rishi. He propagated the Mimamsa Sutra, and Vyasa started to teach the Vedanta Sutra. So Mimamsa and Vedanta, rituals, and here is the philosophy. So they have a conflict that Swamiji took the Vedanta side. About the way the Punjis laughed at Swamiji, picking up one grammatical mistake, he said that this error of his was due to the fact of his not having spoken in Sanskrit for many years together. He did not blame the Punjis a bit for all that. But he pointed out in this connection that in the West, it would imply a great incivility on the part of an opponent to point out any such slip in language, deviating from the real issue of dispute. A civilized society in such cases would accept the idea, taking no notice of the language. But in your country, all the fightings is going on over the husk. Husk. Nobody searches for the kernel within. So saying, Swamiji began to talk with the disciple in Sanskrit. The disciple also gave answers in broken Sanskrit, yet he praised him for the sake of encouragement. From that day, at the request of Swamiji, the disciple used to speak with him in Sanskrit off and on. Swamiji used to write letters to him in Sanskrit. We have those original letters in the complete verse. now the question of civilization. Who is civilized? In reply to the question, what is civilization? Swamiji said that day, the more advanced a society or nation is in spirituality, the more is that society or nation civilized. No nation can be said to have become civilized only because it has succeeded in increasing the comforts of material life by bringing into use lots of machinery and things of that sort. The present civilization of the West is multiplying J by J only the wants and distresses of men. On the other hand, the ancient Indian civilization, by showing people the way to spiritual advancement, doubtless succeeded, if not in removing once for all, at least in lessening in a great measure the material needs of men. In the present age, it is to bring into coalition both the civilizations that Bhagavan Sri Ramakrishna was born. In this age, as on the one hand people have to be intensely practical, so on the other hand they have to acquire deep spiritual knowledge. Civilization. All great civilizations are born on the bank of the rivers. The Aryan civilization, Indian civilization, on the bank of the Ganges, Sindh, and Brahmaputra. Chinese civilization developed on the bank of the Yangtze Kiang and Huang Ho. Egyptian civilization on the bank of the Nile. Babylonian civilization on the bank of the Euphrates, Tigris and Euphrates. Look, America. In 1800, early part of the 19th century, 1800, that Lewis and Clark came through the Mississippi River and all this Midwest was discovered. River. People, all civilization grows where there is water. When you go to the Himalayas in our center, we see where there is water, there is some cottages, houses. Water. Civilization, how they develop. Now, Swamiji said the spirituality. How spiritual you are. Just a few days ago, I was reading about the working hours in the world setup. The Alibaba in China says, if you cannot work 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, do not apply for job in my company. 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. Then only you can apply for a job. These rich human beings like machine, work, money. And with that money, enjoyment. Is it civilization? That is the question. You have no time to love your wife and children or friend. You have almost zero social life, zero spiritual life. Then they will come all mental problems, family problems, money. I read that when the apples, their assembly lines in China, they bring people and put them in a cage like in house. Eat, work. And little sleep. Many committed suicide. I read in the paper all these things. Is it civilization? You see, freedom of speech, freedom of thought are very important. That is very vital in American life. freedom, freedom. No, you cannot have more than one child. That is the law. When the thing human beings are like a machine that, you know, ties in the nuts and bolts. Or human beings do not function that way. We have heart. We have feelings. Creation. Civilization, you know, creation comes through imagination, through deep thinking. You have no time to think. After 12 hours working in the office, what will happen to your body? Collapse. Eat and sleep. Is it civilization? Now in France they are doing, nobody should take any work at home in France. Whatever you want to do, join your office and go home. I had a problem in the monastery. I finished my work and went to my room and started to study. The manager Swami said, no, you'll have to stay in the office. And I finished my work. But if you do that, other brahmacharis also do the same thing. So I brought my books and began to read in the office. I remember I worked for a place. In 2 hours I finished the 6 hours work, and other people are doing 6 hours. Then they told me, if you work in that speed and rage, then we shall lose job. Please slow down. I was helped. Of course, I worked there only 5 months. If you work that way, we shall lose job. My idea is, with minimum time, maximum work, through concentration. That was my motto. Minimum time, and other times you just relax. Finish your work quickly and do other things. That is why I function here. But obviously they want to listen to you. Another thing we do, watch another thing, our civilization. We neglected the material side and concentrated on the spiritual side. Swamiji says in the West, they neglected the spiritual side and they emphasized on the material side. That is the reason they have material prosperity and we have spiritual prosperity. Swamiji said there should be a marriage, so that we shouldn't neglect our body. The Western science brought so many medicines to cure our diseases. So many things we get from the Western science. So they also need, that is the reason Swamiji says, give and take. This is the law. We are not beggars. We shall give our spirituality, you give our material science, so that we can have our basic needs, food, medicine, the basic needs. We neglected in India. Now we are developing. That is excellent. No society is perfect. Swamiji is talking about, we must bring perfection in the society, balanced. Materialism makes people selfish and greed. Result, war, fight. You are weak, I have atom bomb, I shall take your country. Look, Ukraine, which is called this some portion, Russia took it away by force. We are more powerful than you. We have more bombs. That happens. Materialism. Does that? It becomes more selfish, and a selfish person cannot be happy. Never. The person day and night thinking about me, that person has all mental problems. Swamiji made us clearly understand that day that from such interaction of the Indian civilization with that of the West would dawn on the world a new era. In the course of dilating upon this, he happened to remark in one place, well, another thing, people there in the West think that the more a man is religious, the more demure he must be in his outward bearing. No word about anything else from his lips. As the priest in the West would, on the one hand, be struck with wonder at my liberal religious discourses, they would be as much puzzled, on the other hand, when they found me after such discourses, talking frivolities with my friends. Sometimes they would speak out to my face, Swami, you are a priest, you should not be joking and laughing in this way like ordinary men. Such levity does not look well in you. To which I would reply, well, we are children of bliss. Why should we look morose and somber? But I doubt if they could rightly catch the drift of my words. Here, the ministers, you know, pastors, are very serious. Cemented jaw. They do not know how to open the jaw. Cemented, here. Let me tell you a funny story. When our Swami Sat Prakashananda, the old Swami, my predecessor, died in 1979, so we went to Lapton Mortuary here in Ole, in Jalmar Boulevard. We wanted to buy a coffin. So the man was showing that this is $18,000 with mahogany wood. Only once in your life you will be able to do it, you know. It is a velvet bed, velvet pillow, $18,000. Then I said, what is the cheapest one you have? And three ladies, American ladies, are with me and myself. What is the cheapest? Cheapest one is the cardboard box. Uncle, how much? $300. So I told those ladies, when I shall die, cardboard box. Then, of course, we bought for Swami, I think $1,500, aluminum body, but nice bed, very clean. Swami is a senior Swami, he stayed here 41 years, a dignified sadhu. So we bought $1,500 coffee. Then I went to that $18,000 coffin. Then I went, I told that mortuary person, you know, seeing this bed, do you know how do I feel? I feel I should die right now. And I shall lie down in this bed. I have never slept in velvet bed in my whole life. Let me lie down. And that man was looking at me, very serious, you know, looking at me. I feel I should die right now, here on this bed. We are the children of immortal bliss. We must laugh. Look, if you read the Gospel of Ramakrishna, how many places you will see all laugh, laughter, all laugh, laughter. Many places you will see, am recorded. That is called experience. Otherwise, how do I know? Seeing your face. In our monastery, we had a brahmachari. Do you know what we called him? Chirapunjir Meg. Meg means cloud of Chirapunji. Chirapunji, in the northwestern part of India, 500 inches rainfall a year. That is the tea plantation area, you know, slope. So, Uncle Hung, oh, look, a cloud of Shirapunji is walking now. So gloomy and cloudy face. One of our friends, devotees, wrote a book, Sahasya Vivekananda, Smiling Vivekananda, 300 pages book. Only Swamiji's humor. I have a copy. Only 300 pages, Vivekananda's humor. I should read that book. That will remove your tension in life. I gave a lecture here, Humor of Vivekananda. Anyhow. You know, here ministers are all very serious people. Very serious. That day, Swamiji also spoke many things about Bhava Samadhi and Nirvikalpa Samadhi. These are produced below as far as possible. Suppose a man is cultivating that type of devotion to God, which Hanuman represents, the more intense the attitude becomes, the more will the pose and demeanor of that aspirant, nay, even his physical configuration, be cast in that mold. It is in this way that transmutation of species take place. Taking up any such emotional attitude, the worshipper becomes gradually shaped into the very form of his ideal. The ultimate stage of any such sentiment is called Bhava Samadhi. While the aspirant in the path of jnana, pursuing the process of neti neti, not this, such as I am not the body, not the mind, not the intellect, and so on, attains to the Nirvikalpa Samadhi when he is established in absolute consciousness. It requires striving through many births to reach perfection or the ultimate stage with regard to a single one of these devotional attitudes. But Sri Ramakrishna, the king of the realm of spiritual sentiment, perfected himself in no less than 18 different forms of devotion. He also used to say that his body would not have endured had he not held himself onto this play of spiritual sentiment. Samadhi. Samyak adhyate tasmin. When your mind merges in God or in infinite, that is called Samadhi. Dharana, first concentration, then comes Dhyana, meditation, then comes Samadhi. I think some years ago I also spoke on Samadhi. How many kinds of Samadhi there are? Bhava Samadhi, Shabikalpa Samadhi, Nirvikalpa Samadhi, Sampragyata Samadhi, Asampragyata Samadhi, Vitarko Samadhi, then Ananda Samadhi, then Unmana Samadhi. There are many, 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 many kinds of Samadhi. Jara Samadhi. Well, it is not so easy. He said, this continuous thought can change the body. Saint Francis of Assisi meditated on Christ. As a result, got stigmata, crucifixion of Jesus with hands and feet. He got all the wounds in his body through meditation. when Ramakrishna was practicing Dashyabhava, Hanuman's attitude to Rama, a growth came from his tailbone, just like a monkey tail. Like. Then disciple asked her, is it still there? Oh, no, no, no. When that mood left, that also shrank in my body. You know, it is hard to believe all these things. Day and night, if you think of God, your face, your eyes will be so serene, so calm. And day and night you harbor anger, jealousy, hatred, you will see your face will be very hard. It will harden your artery, your face, your skin, your flesh will be hard. It is all in the mind that he is talking about. Bhava. It is a devotional feeling, day and night thinking about God. When we read the lives of the gopis in the Vrindavan, in the Bhagavatam, Harmelon, Goroj Bachan, Dhumidi Kukas. Those women in Vrindavan, they're milk women. They're milking the cows, selling the milk in the market, butter, making curds, selling the market. But their whole minds are on Krishna. How can I feed these things to Krishna? When they were going to sell those things in the market, horomelon, goras bechon. Goras means milk. They want to sell the milk, on the way they will meet Krishna. Day and night thinking, when shall we meet him? When shall we meet him? When shall we meet him? Sometimes intentionally they would think that Krishna should disrupt their things or destroy their things or steal their milk and other scotch and noni, that butter. In the evening they will go to Krishna's home and will tell Yashoda, your son is very naughty. Your son is stole these things from my house. It is not that they want to see him, even at night time, evening time when the boy is at home. It's just a wajuhat. Oh, what is called? Just taking a point that you know, so that I can see him once more. I am going to complain against your son, but intention that I want to see him. That is called love. That is called real love. Day and night thinking of God. Sri Ramakrishna's life is an example. Eighteen moods. If you read the Ramakrishna's divine play, there I described all these moods of spiritual life. Disciple asked that day, sir, what sort of food did you use to take in the West? And the same as they take he there, we are sannyasins and nothing can take away our caste. Somebody says that you are eating meat and all those things. Swamiji wrote a letter that you please send a cook for me, then I send a cook from India so that that person will cook for me. I shall be very happy. Here I go home, the guest of the American people, I live in an American home. Whatever they eat, they give me, I eat, that's all. I remember once Swami Nikhilananda went to India, visiting India, or New York Swami. So somebody asked, Acha Swami, are you a Do you eat meat in America? The Swami said, my goodness, I came 10,000 miles away to India to hear this this question, whether I'm a vegetarian or non-vegetarian. This is the only question you have. And he embarrassed that person. I have come 10,000 miles away to see my own people, and you are asking me, are you a vegetarian? Ask something. I scolded one teacher in Los Angeles. He brought his students in our temple. So I was answering their question. They have only two questions, cow and caste, and nothing else. Then I scolded the teacher. This is the thing you teach your students about Hinduism. There is only caste and cow and nothing else. Then I told him, no, we have cows because it is an agricultural country. One American farmer is equivalent to 300 Indian farmers. One farmer in the Midwest, one tractor, the volume of land it can till, we need 300 farmers with three pairs of bulls. I explained to them that, you know, it is an agriculture camp. We do not have machinery like you people have. So if we, I told that, you know, more than 100 million Muslims and Christians, they eat cows. Hindus do not eat cows, then there will be no cows in India. There will be no cows, no agriculture. I give reason that what is going on, it is necessary. Then I said, well, in America there are 75 million dogs. Some people take dogs in their bed. Well, we do not take our cows to bed. Anyhow, at that time I am talking about 70s. Oof. Only caste and cows. So I told, this question don't, no caste, no cows, other than any question you ask. Then I explained what this caste system means, what cow can do to our society. I explained to this, they're young kids, innocent children. But these teachers put all these different ideas and thoughts in them. Oh, you cannot marry anybody. Are you? No, you marry as many as you like. marriage. Anyhow. On the subject, how you'd work in future in this country, Swamiji said that day that starting two centers, one in Madras and another in Calcutta, he would rear up a new type of sannyasins for the good of all men in all its phases. He further said that by a destructive method, no progress either for the society or for the country could be achieved. In all ages and times, progress has been effected by the constructive process, that is, by giving a new mold to old methods and customs. Every religious preacher in India during the past ages worked in that line. Only the religion of Bhagavan Buddha was destructive. Hence, that religion has been extirpated from India. The disciple remembers that while thus speaking on, he remarked, if the Brahman is manifested in one man, thousands of men advance, finding their way out in that light. Only the knowers of Brahman are the spiritual teachers of mankind. This is corroborated by all scriptures and by reason too. It is only the selfish Brahmins who have introduced into this country the system of hereditary gurus, which is against the Vedas and against the scriptures, shastras. Hence it is that even though there is spiritual practice men do not now succeed in perfecting themselves or in realizing Brahman. To remove all this corruption in religion, the Lord has incarnated himself on earth in the present age in the person of Sri Ramakrishna. The universal teaching that he offered, if spread all over the world, will do good to humanity and the world, not for many a country, not for many a century past has India produced so great, so wonderful a teacher of religious synthesis. A brother disciple of Swamiji at that time asked him, why did you not publicly preach Sri Ramakrishna as an avatar in the West? Swamiji, they make much flourish and fuss over their science and philosophy. Hence, unless you first knock to pieces their intellectual conceit through reasoning, scientific arguments and philosophy, you cannot build anything there. Those who finding themselves off their moorings through their utmost intellectual reasoning would approach me in a real spirit of truth-seeking. To them alone, I would speak of Sri Ramakrishna. If otherwise, I had forthwith spoken of the doctrine of incarnation, they might have said, oh, you do not say anything new. Why, we have our Lord Jesus for all that. After thus spending some 3 or 4 delightful hours, the disciple came back to Calcutta that day along with the other visitors. Teacher. Who is the teacher? A real teacher is an aura Brahman. He knows the word meaning of the Vedas, the Upanishads, and the inner meaning of the scriptures. And he speaks from his own experience. Real teacher. Swamiji says, Sri Ramakrishna was a real teacher. Well, such a teacher, many, many centuries India has never found. Very shamannaya acharya. Shamannaya means harmonious in every respect, not destructive. Constructive and destructive. He never disturbed anybody's faith. Hold on, whatever you have, and grow. All paths lead to the same goal. That Swamiji, Sri Ramakrishna's teachings, we find that way. And then he said, they said that, why did you not preach Vivekananda, Ramakrishna? That one person, Shishir Ghosh, he is a great devotee of Chaitanya. Why did you not preach Chaitanya, Krishna, and the love aspect of Krishna with the gopis? Swamiji said, oh, the Western people are expert in love aspect with the gopis. I will not have to teach that. They are practicing. I taught only the Upanishads and the universal aspect of the Vedanta. That's what Swamiji said. He told Sister Nivedita, did you notice what I taught in the West? Only the Upanishads. The universal aspect of Vedanta. I talked about the true nature of human beings, Atman. How to manifest this Atman. How to realize God. That I taught. And how to be a perfect human being. With 4 yogas. Karma, tremendously active, tremendously devotional, tremendous emotion, knowledge, and devotion, karma yoga, unselfish action, bhakti yoga, devotion, ज्ञान योग, नॉलेज डिस्क्रिमिनेशन एंड राजयोग मेडिटेशन मिस्टिकल पास. सो दीज फोर योगज मस्ट बी डेवलप्ड हारमोनियसली इन योर लाइफ, देन यू विल बी अ परफेक्ट ह्यूमन बींग. यू हैव गुड इंटेलेक्ट, नो हार्ट, नो गुड. यू हैव द लार्ज हार्ट, नो इंटेलेक्ट, नो गुड. यू हैव बोथ बट यू आर वेरी इनएक्टिव, लेजी, नो गुड. डिड यू नोटिस हाउ आवर लाइफ आर हारमोनियसली ब्लेंडेड? These four yogas. That Swamiji taught. If you read that what kind of religion will play the vital role in this century, these four yogas. That Swamiji taught. And they are universal. It is not, those yogas are not Hindu or Christian or Muslim or Buddhist. They are universal teachings. That you remember in this room, I talked about those four yogas for many years. And we finished hundreds of tapes. Those are all wonderful way to study Swamiji. Explore his four yogas. And nowadays I am giving series of talks in Kansas City on Jnana Yoga. Anyhow, I tell you frankly, this book is very inspiring for me. I can see Swamiji's, his original ideas and the way he talks, the way he answers questions. This translation doesn't make me happy, but when I read this one, it really makes me happy. The original Bengali. Very powerful. Bas. Do you put a date when I finish the place? Always put a date there. In my copy, I also put a date. That here I ended. When I read this book, if I am a little down, if I read this book, I am up. Really, really powerful book. Do something. So much strength, so much power behind his words. One devotee in California, American, called me, Swami, I'm very depressed. Uncle, really you are depressed? I'm like, yes. Uncle, I have a medicine. Well, what shall I do? You have the complete words of Swami Vivekananda? Yes. You go to your room and close the door. And open a lecture in complete words, volume 2. Open secret and read it. Loud. Loud you read it. So your mouth will work, eyes will work, and ears will work. Your three organs will get it. Read loud. It will take maybe 12 or 13 pages. It will take maybe 45 minutes, maximum 1 hour. Then you open the door and come out and tell me how you feel. Show me it works. It works. There's a tremendous power behind his words. It has been experimented and verified. That is science. Jai Ma.